Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we ask that you watch over us, your devoted servants, and keep us safe during these trying and questioning times when we feel as if the evil of the world is assaulting us from all sides. All of this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters, today is the fourth Sunday after Easter. And according to the scriptures, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has died on the cross. He has risen. And he is now in the upper room talking to all of the disciples. They're worried about their safety. And in reality, why shouldn't they be? After all, the Son of God, the one who was sent here to teach us, to guide us, to watch over us, to fulfill the prophecy and put us back on track with God, has been killed just a short while ago. If he can die for standing up for what's right, what about them? Jesus has just told them that he has to leave in order to go back to the Father. The disciples are waiting for an explanation, but they're so caught up in this moment, this thing called being human. They're caught up and concerned about what's going to happen to them. They're most likely worried. They're shocked. On top of it, they're confused. Because like I just said to you, if that could happen to Jesus, what about them? Of course, they're going to be concerned about themselves. Wouldn't you? Jesus says in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 8, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, when I first read that verse, I was a little bit confused. Why would Jesus have to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come? I mean, isn't there a saying that goes along the lines of two heads are better than one? I mean, what better way to spread the ministry that Jesus came here to institute than to have more than one person that understands the whole picture, that understands the situation? Now, unfortunately, in this case, the answer has to be no. The Holy Spirit isn't just coming because there's nothing on TV that day. The Holy Spirit has a purpose and a reason to come. His purpose is to reprove and guide the world. Now, what does reprove mean? According to Merriam-Webster.com, it defines reprove as to scold or correct gently, but the Bible tends to use words such as reprove in a much more complex way. It means to judge, to convict, to chastise, and it doesn't usually mean that in a gentle way. Unfortunately, definitions in the Bible are mostly based upon the context in which they're used. Now, with that in mind, I would assume that it's not going to be something gentle, especially with the state of the world at that time, and especially with the killing of the Son of God. Jesus had to leave in order for there to be belief in him by faith. Of course, those who had witnessed firsthand the miracles of Jesus would believe, and they would continue to believe in him and his ministry. Jesus leaving was more for those who hadn't actually seen the miracles and possibly They hadn't even seen him. They might have just heard of a man from Galilee. It was for those who had heard about the miracles that Jesus had performed and believed in their hearts and their souls that he was the Son of God. Amen? We're told in Romans 5, verses 1 through 2, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Before Jesus died for our sins, because Jesus had died for our sins, we now have access to God, the Father, through that all-important thing called faith. Faith helps us to not only move forward, but it helps us to keep moving forward. Having faith keeps us right with God. It helps us to trust God no matter what's going on around us and continue with the belief that he will keep all of the promises that he has made to us as his children. It allows us to continue on every day because we know that God is in the driver's seat. When Jesus leaves and the Holy Spirit comes, he's coming for a very specific purpose. We're told that the Holy Spirit is being sent to reprieve the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You see, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin because they do not believe on me. Jesus is not saying the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of our basic sins because Jesus' death took care of that. What he's talking about is a very specific sin because he says they do not believe on me. Or in present day English, believe in me. Now, what do you think is the greatest sin in God's eye? Is it murder? Is it theft? Is it cursing God? No, those are sins. Don't get me wrong, but they can't be called the greatest sin in the world because there is one sin that is greater than all of that. It's the sin of refusing to believe in Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying when he says he will reprove them of sin. Not your everyday sin, I'm telling you. But as if he's saying, I will convict them of the greatest sin of all, which is that they don't believe in me and all that I stand for, all that I've done. Until people actually see themselves as sinners, and that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, they'll never see the need for a Savior, and they'll continue doing what they're doing. People also need to understand that there is a lack of righteousness in the world. Jesus explains that the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. When Jesus came in the world, he set a bar of righteousness, or better yet, an expectation of righteousness that we should all attempt to live by. Now, we're not free and clear of sin, nor could we ever be, but we could and we should attempt to be as close to the role model that Jesus was for us. With Jesus' ascension to the Father, we have to take over the role of being righteous and model ourselves after him by faith. What is that word? By faith. And continue to do so for the rest of our lives. Not just today because it's Sunday. Not tomorrow because we remember what we heard in the sermon, but for the rest of our lives. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to make the world realize that there's a lack of righteousness and that we, as God's children, we have to do better. And finally, the Holy Spirit, in regards to judgment, will convict anyone who chooses to side with the world instead of obedience to the Son of God. Unfortunately, that's the problem with the world today. We're so caught up in the latest fashions, the latest rap stars, the latest movie stars, the latest cars and trucks, as we search for that almighty dollar. We start worshiping those things and those people instead of keeping our eyes on the prize. That prize being God and all that was provided for us, whether it's seen or unseen. We're told in Matthew 6:24 that no man can serve two masters. Y'all know this. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. King James Version calls it mammon, but it means money. Jesus said that when the Spirit comes, he will guide you in all truths. The guidance that the Holy Spirit gives us is not one of a thunderous, booming voice that separates the clouds and shakes the earth, like we had about a month ago. That might have been a message or a sign, but I don't think that's what they were referring to at that moment. Because that's not how the Holy Spirit works. The way that the Holy Spirit moves in our lives and in our souls, some might say that it's more like a whisper or a feeling. See, have you ever thought about doing something and felt a little chill come across you that stopped you from doing that? Or have you heard what you thought might have been a whisper that might have been telling you to do something? That's the way that the Holy Spirit works. Unfortunately, people both then and now have blocked out the Holy Spirit's voice so many times that they just don't hear him any longer. We have read God's word and we have chosen not to obey it. We have listened to countless sermons, but have ignored the Spirit who was seeking to apply that word of God, that message to our lives. If you keep on telling the Holy Spirit no, or not now, you'll eventually stop hearing him. Or worse yet, he'll stop speaking to you because nobody, I mean nobody, likes to be ignored. If you want the Holy Spirit to guide you in all truths, you have to listen. You have to obey when you're prompted to turn from that wrong path or that wrong behavior. Jesus tells them that there are many more things that he wants to tell them, but they're just not ready for it. What he means is that they're not spiritually ready to receive it, or at least just not yet. In due time, they will be, but not right now. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills them, then they will be in the mindset to receive the truth, and he wants them to understand what they're receiving. the message he wants them to have. We'll hear about it later. It's called Pentecost. The Holy Spirit communicates to believers for the purpose of glorifying Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit's primary purpose, his primary job is to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself. Instead, he points people to Jesus. When the Holy Spirit is fulfilling his role, then Jesus Christ is the center of all attention. He's the center of that much needed and directed faith. My brothers and sisters, if you want the Holy Spirit to guide you in all truths, you have to do what? You have to listen. You have to obey when you're prompted to turn from that wrong path. You have to follow through when you're encouraged to talk to someone, especially when you're encouraged to talk to somebody about Jesus. You have to be prepared to help when you feel that there is somebody that needs your help, when you feel it. In all of these things, the Holy Spirit is at work in all of our lives. And all of that was made possible by the departure of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.